Do you know the Bible is God's holy word? Do you know it is inspired, inerrant, and infallible? If so, like, share, subscribe, and support this podcast. For we are Maranatha Ministries, and our redemption draweth nigh. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. We are your host, Jose and Matthew. Tonight is going to be extenuation of something that we talked about on the previous program, Joe and I, straight from Isaiah chapter 49. I only covered a single verse there where God talks about putting us on a garment like jewels. The Septuagint uses different phraseology, and it likens us being arranged as the stars are in the heaven, as the cosmos. Literally, the Greek, if you want to translate it literally, it says the, well, how would you put that? The cosmos bride. That's literally what it states. So this chapter is magnificently important in the simple fact that everybody rejects it because it is a hard pill to swallow. Because, Jose, let's let the rubber hit the road right now. Let us be honest one with another. Are we in the kingdom of heaven?
No, we're not, Matthew. Not right now.
And that's a hard pill to swallow, right? Because Jesus went to heaven. Right.
Yes.
Okay, and everybody, your mind wants to reject that. Your mind wants to say that Jesus is king right now and he's in charge. No. No, that can't be true, right? I mean, what is the biggest industry we have in the United States? What? Probably what? Bar none is probably pornography, right?
Right. Yep. That's what leads all of our mediums and all of our commerce is pornography.
And human trafficking and the like,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So somebody like you and I will be provoked to anger if somebody tries to state that, no, this is the kingdom of heaven. No, it's not. So this is a very hard pill to swallow, that Christ will not be married until he is coronated king. Amen?
Amen.
Right now, there is no debate. When you open the pages of Revelation, it plainly states that as of right now, he is a lamb looking as if he's slain, correct?
Yes, that's what it says.
Even on the sixth seal event, he is not king. He's described as what? The lamb. He's described as the lamb. He is not coronated into Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. That's when he gets coronated. So that's what we're waiting for right now. He cannot come get his bride until he's king, because he is not going to be wed prior to his kingship, correct?
Correct.
So God has to relay this information to us somewhere. And one of the places he does that at, outside of all the other chapter he does it, like last night I talked about extensively, you and I have talked about it extensively, Joe and I keep repeating it, the simple fact that Daniel chapter 7 gives you the whole timeline.
Right.
It gives you the whole timeline. And you're told that it's not till sometime after the sixth seal event, when God gets back to heaven, that Jesus is coronated. It doesn't tell us when, but that's what it says. So when we take a look at a chapter like this and take it for what it's worth, your mind wants to reject it. You just want to throw it away. You just want to say, you know, it's too overwhelming and just reject the text. But ladies and gentlemen, right here in this chapter, he comes right out and says that his salvation is hidden in his quiver. You don't have to like it. You can argue about it. Christ is not king yet. No, he's not. If Christ was king right now, we would have no problems right now. Jose, amen?
Amen.
Okay, because I assure you, in the kingdom of heaven, he puts a mechanism in place. They do not budge. And I assure everybody, there's not going to be any tinkering and bending the rules in the kingdom of heaven. Because the people that's running the show, they are not going to tolerate anything. So this is 26 verses. But it's 26 verses that literally when I try to think about it, I have pretty good remembrances when it comes to God's word. I literally don't recall any program that I've ever listened to. I don't recall anybody ever talking about this and end times Bible prophecy. Even though this is the big, another big elephant in the room. This is a big elephant in the room. If Jesus has been crowned king, where is he? And if that's true, why does the book of Revelation start out by saying that he is a lamb looking as if he'd been slain? So somebody's out of kilter with God's word. And when you're out of kilter with God's word, you are causing chaos with God's children. So with that in mind, I want everybody to realize that's what this chapter is about. God is getting ready to tell you that at present moment, he is hiding his salvation. He is hiding Jesus in his quiver. He's getting ready to come out and say it. And he's getting ready to say that he's going to do a whole lot himself. Most of this chapter is about he who sitteth upon the throne. It's not about his salvation. So with that in mind, we're going to take a one pass over this, and I'm not too sure we're going to make it for a full hour. I have other things at play here, but we don't have a full hour anyway, because we're just moving as the Spirit moves. We're literally caught up in the Holy Spirit's wake. Amen, Jose?
Amen, Matthew.
I mean, this is just spur of the moment. You didn't know what we were doing. I didn't know what we were doing. I just felt that this was a good thing to do. So would you like to read Isaiah chapter 49, or would you like me to?
Yeah, I can read it, Matthew.
Okay, fire away.
Okay, I'm going to hit it with the NASB 1995, Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, and from the body of my mother he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me, and he has also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones to Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see and arise. Princes will also bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will keep you and give you for a covenant to the people to restore the land and make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to those who are bound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on all their heights. They will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will lead them, and will guide them to springs of water. And I will make my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. Behold, these will come up from afar, and lo, these will come from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, O heavens, and rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders hurry. Your destroyers and devastators will depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All of them gather together. They come to you. As I live, declares the Lord, you will surely put on all of them as jewels and bind them on as a bride. For your waste and desolate places and your destroyed land, surely now you will be too cramped for the inhabitants, and those who swallowed you will be far away. The children of whom you were bereaved will yet say in your ears, the place is too cramped for me. Make room for me that I may live here. Then you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me, since I have been bereaved of my children and am barren, an exile and a wanderer? And who has reared these? Behold, I was left alone. From where did these come? Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my standard to the peoples, and they will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Kings will be your guardians, and their princesses your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet, and you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man, or the captives of a tyrant rescued? Surely, thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons, and I will feed your oppressors with their own flesh, and they will become drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob.
Boy, that's a lot to swallow, isn't it, Jose?
Yes, it is, Matthew.
He literally put every type of mechanism you needed to know for what is to come.
Amen.
It's absolutely amazing what he talked about here.
Right.
Just take note that there's no doubt who he's talking about in these verses who will lead us. That there's just, well, you and I talked about this before. We mentioned it, Micah chapter 2 and verse 13, the breaker goes up before them. They break out, they pass through the gate and go out by it. This gulf, this releasing. So their king goes on before them and the Lord is at their head. Literally speaking in the exact same phraseology here. Picking up here in verse 9 from what we just read, saying to those who are bound, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on the bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, nor the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For Yahweh's compassion will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. This is literally just a rephrasing of Micah chapter 2. Just no doubt about that. So he spends some massive amounts of verses here stating that there is an indefinite period of time when this salvation is hidden like an arrow in God's quiver. Correct, Jose?
Correct.
And he says that he has chosen Jesus, what he's talking about here. He has chosen him. He's speaking in future tense. He will bring Jacob back so that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and God is my strength. He says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant. Ladies and gentlemen, this is literally 26 verses describing to you your present situation. Christ has not been coronated yet. And all this design, all this mechanism is set up by he who sitteth upon the throne. Now take note. What has happened right now? Okay. Verse 2. Right now he's in the shadow of God the Father's hand. Yes, he is, Jose. Yes, right. He is. He has concealed me and he has made me a select arrow. Amen.
Amen.
He has hidden me in his quiver. This is where Jesus is right now. Right now, what is Jesus saying right now? Listen and understand that he came right out and told you. Verse 4, but I said, I have toiled in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think is going on right now? Jose, what is Jesus doing right now?
He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, Matthew, waiting to open up those seals.
And literally, right now, his sacrifice is, he's not king yet. Him ascending into heaven at this point, you would be able to make the case of what verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 49 just said. Because it's until he's coronated, until he comes screaming out of the gates of heaven, this is exactly what you would expect. This is exactly what you see in the book of Revelation, isn't it, Jose?
Yes, yes. By one of my favorite verses, Matthew, in Revelation chapter 6, where it talks about them fearing the wrath of the Lamb. They want the rocks and the mountains to hide them because they fear the wrath of the Lamb. That sentence doesn't make sense. How could you fear a lamb, right? But
that's right.
You know, obviously we know what lamb they're talking about, but that he's still a lamb, but they still fear him.
Until he gets coronated, Jose, right. He is not a king. Therefore, he is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth, right?
Amen.
Why is it people can't grasp this? This is a major conundrum. Ladies and gentlemen, once you get saved, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have categorical promises made to you that the Spirit of truth will come to you and show you what is to come. And if you haven't put two and two together, it's because you're not reading God's word. You're not believing it. You are believing extra biblical text. You should have been hearing this from the pulpit at least once a year, ladies and gentlemen. You should have heard some type of sermon once a year in your church. I don't care what the denomination is. If it's a Christ-based denomination, you should have heard about Christ's coronation about once a year and why you're waiting for it. Because if you don't know why you're waiting for it, you will lose heart. You'll lose faith if you don't know why you're waiting. So you could take this very message and pull it redundantly out of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. He gives you many lessons on this that, look, doesn't the New Testament say you need to keep running the race, Jose?
Yes, it does.
You need to run till the race is done. It says it. You need to put on the full armor of God and continue to fight, right?
Yep, we're supposed to keep working while there's still daylight, Matthew, because there's dark and no work can be done.
That's right. That is right. So literally, I hope everybody understands what I just said. You should have heard this sermon at minimum once a year. Minimum. Because if you don't know what you're waiting for, well, you just lose heart, don't you, Jose?
Yes.
You will just...
You get distracted by the things of the world, Matthew.
Yes, you get caught up in endless distractions. forever being prevented from obtaining any type of edification. Any type of edification whatsoever. But he just told you everything you needed to know. He literally, he prophetically, he dropped all sorts of hits here, like the terrible things that's going to be going on during the tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need a hint, you ain't got a clue. God don't lie. God does not lie. Listen to what he says. Verse 25, surely thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty men will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I, he is talking about this as he who sitteth upon the throne, for I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons. Ladies and gentlemen, he just told you Revelation chapter 12 and that male child. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Verse 26, what is the tribulation going to be like? What are these two infamous verses that Hosea and I have taught you about in Daniel chapter 7? God takes his throne. It's described how time is rearranged. And then it says, while this was going on, behold, the little horn was boasting, and he set up a kingdom. There's two verses there that tells you about the tribulation. That's what this verse is doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's in the news right now, and even Joe and I have been talking about it here lately. There is a food chain. Now, there is a natural food chain that normally begins in the sea. That's beside the point. We here in the United States of America have a food chain, and it involves wheels and diesel motors. Trains, yes, that's diesel motors. Semi-tractor, yes, that's a diesel motor. What about the big ships that get them here? No, ladies and gentlemen, they're not military grade. They don't have nuclear reactors on them. Yes, diesel. If you think any of that garbage is going to run after the great day of you set upon a throne, you're daft. This is what's going to happen. I will feed your oppressors with their own flesh. And if you were wondering about how severe, you know, the judgment upon the drinking water is, that infamous wormwood that comes out of God's hand, yes, I said that. Are you mad at me? Yes. Everything that happens under the heavens is a signed written order by he who sitteth upon the throne. What do you think they're going to drink? Guess what? He just told you. And on top of that, he just told you it's going to have an effect on them, because he's already taught you in different scriptures what's even going to happen with alcoholic drinks. It is no longer going to ferment. And I'm sorry if that upsets a lot of you. Jose, am I lying? Have we not covered that before?
Yep.
That God says the alcohol will not ferment. It will sour, correct?
Yep, right, right. In the Apocalypse of Isaiah, we talked about that, Matthew.
Okay, so right here, if you needed a hint, you ain't got a clue, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to drink something, and he just told you what you're going to be drinking, and they will be drunk with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The tribulation is going to be severe because you can't die. God commands death to flee from you. Literally, he just said everything you needed to know. He literally stated everything top to bottom of what you would need to know, Jose. And it amazes me. It absolutely baffles me, Jose. Nobody talks about what starts the tribulation. They just refuse to talk about it.
Right.
It's amazing to me how they have extracted the great day of the Lord from the tribulation. I'm not even quite sure how that is possible, but yet that's exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So your thoughts on these verses and what stuck out to you? Because what stuck out to you is obviously going to be different than what stuck out to me, because that's why God has knitted us together, Jose.
Amen. Amen, Matthew.
So what stuck out to you here in this chapter?
Well, Matthew, how many times he discusses the womb here in this chapter? He continually hits on it. Right there where he says that I was named from the womb, right in that first verse. Okay, that should obviously take us to Matthew chapter 1, where right. The angel gives him the name Emmanuel. God is with us. Okay.
Which is Isaiah chapter 7 and 8.
Amen. Amen. So you start tying these things together. And then when he starts talking about the quiver, right, the bows in his quiver, that takes me to Psalm 127, Matthew. And I'm going to read the last three verses of that chapter. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. And so, Matthew, just like you're saying, the tribulation trigger, I mean, this is all pointing us to Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal. I know it doesn't come out straight. How can I put this? You have to read it and you have to believe it, Matthew, to understand what God's saying. But he repeats himself so much that if you know what to look for, it's going to show up over and over and over again. And so he's telling us right here what that tribulation trigger is, why God gets up off his throne and why he goes down to collect those arrows for his quiver. And it tells us here that Jesus, his son, is the select arrow, right? He's the main one, but in that, in a quiver, there's more than one arrow, Matthew, even if you have one special one.
Jose, you just hit the nail on the head. He is stating that at present moment, the only arrow in his quiver is this special one.
Amen.
And you need to have the wherewithal to know he's going to fill that puppy up. The Lord ain't going to come back empty-handed to heaven, Jose.
Right.
And I am so glad you brought that up. That was so perfect to put in there. This is a direct question. Ladies and gentlemen, he can't be talking about anything else except the verses Jose just read. And if the Lord would say that about you, would it not bear at least some investigation to think that, well, if the Lord wants my quiver to be full, surely he's going to have his own quiver full. Amen, Jose?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, that should go without that. That is just deductive reasoning. It's just deductive reasoning. And this is exactly what he states he's going to do. And ladies and gentlemen, I am forced to do this. Now, maybe you all are tired of hearing about it. I don't know. But I'm going to go and I'm going to tell you when this happens. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, Mount Zion, just look at it as his quiver, okay? And God's not playing. He just threatened everyone that's ever living that he's going to do this. So you kind of can take it to the bank. He is going to have his quiver full. And they are going to be full of the first fruits from the womb. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Revelation chapter 14. Then I looked and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him what? 144,000 arrows. 144,000 having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a loud voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures, the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, God just told you in Isaiah chapter 49 when they got purchased. Verse 4, these are the ones who have not been defiled with women. They've kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as the first fruits to God and the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. He just told you when his quiver gets full. If you believe something else, what you're believing is tantamount to, I don't even know the phraseology to call it. It is literally mythopoetic fantasy if you believe something else. It's literally mythopoetic fantasy if you believe something else. This is the God of creation speaking here. And I think that he has the capacity to do everything that he states. Amen, Jose?
Amen, Matthew. Let me hit on verse 20 here, Matthew. I've been looking for different translations to see which ones may fit a little bit better than that, than the NASB one. So I'm going to read it out of the King James here. Okay. It says, the children which you shall have after you have lost the other shall say again in your ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell.
Your thoughts on that?
He's talking about Revelation chapter 14, Matthew, right? Isaiah 26, you got the mothers crying for giving birth to the wind. And then you turn around and you have Revelation 14, where they find that place where they dwell, where they live.
All right. Maybe people don't understand what you just said, so I'll jump over there real quick. I mean, it's not too far away. It is near and dear to my heart because I know what is to come. I know what's happening. I know what he intends to do. He has said this before. Okay, so take note. I'm going to say this again. Just as one example, Daniel chapter 7 starts out with these four beasts. I'm going to say this cleanly so you understand it. This is an isochronal event, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to prove it to you. There were four beasts in World War II. Yes, there was. There was two theaters, Jose.
Right.
One beast was the Axis in the European theater, and one beast was the Allies in the European theater. The other two beasts were in the Pacific theater. This is beyond contestation, Jose. You can't argue this, can you?
No. Historical fact.
Just as one example, the birth pains come first. Oh, yes, they do.
I hit a couple more verses. And just look for the ones talking about the womb. You got verse 14 and 15. The Lord has, Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. So I just see this all through this chapter, Matthew.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you see it all through that chapter. Did you read the verses from Isaiah chapter 26 for me?
Nope, but I can jump over there.
Why don't you jump over and do that?
Okay.
And it's pretty important that everybody realizes that. I'm sure I was interrupted. When you start the verse before it, it's obvious you are in the birth pains when this happens. So go ahead, Jose.
Okay. So I'm going to start in verse 16 and read to the end of the stanza. O Lord, they sought you in distress. They could only whisper a prayer. Your chastening was upon them. As the pregnant woman approaches the time to give birth, she writhes and cries out in her labor pains. Thus were we before you, O Lord. We were pregnant. We writhed in labor. We gave birth, as it seems, only to wind. We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth, nor were inhabitants of the world born. Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy, for your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits.
So that's everything encapsulated right there.
Right.
It's the full meal deal. It's what he's talking about.
They were hoping that their children would bring deliverance to the earth, Matthew, verse 18.
That's right.
That was their hope.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, that is answered in the last verse of Obadiah.
Amen.
Their children become Moshiach. So, well, we're going to have to end this. I'm not even sure how I can end it. I'm not even sure how to stop recording. So I'm kind of at a loss what to do here.
I think I got a button here, Matthew, that I can stop, I think. So.
Okay, because I made you an administrator, correct?
Yes, I'm still administrator, yep.
Okay, very good. Well, we didn't forget to start out with prayer, did we?
Yes, we did, Matthew.
Lord have mercy. When it rains, it pours. Well, I guess I'll take us out of here in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, Jose and I, look, the entire ministerial team here at Maranatha Ministries will continue to plug away at this. Please say a prayer for me, because I got an interview coming up here in a few weeks that, well, I have to do what the Lord has me to do. So please be in prayer for me. And all you mothers, happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
What a blessing you are. So, dear Heavenly Father, whom we serve through the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for this precious time that you've given Jose and I to share with your children. It's such a blessing. Thank you so much for permitting us to do it. And I pray that you bless this program and those who will partake of it, whether it was here live or in the archive, whether they partake of the video or the audio. Please bless them, Lord, because they are hungry. There are so few that are feeding them. So please give Maranatha Ministry strength to continue to try to do that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, God bless. Godspeed.
Thank you for listening to Maranatha Ministries with Matthew Miller. I appreciate you tuning in. For more information, stop by and visit us at patreon.com/Matthew Miller. Or you can correspond to us via snail mail by writing to P.O. Box 024, Reeder, North Dakota 58649. Now, if you're a God-fearing, Bible-believing, gospel-preaching Christian, please repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Its words will I hide in my heart, that I might not sin against God.